Ozarks, back on the farm.
Well, come on in and set a spell, friends. Here's that lovable First Lady of the Ozarks, Mae Kennedy McCord, ready to chat with you about this, that, and the other in Ozark folklore and traditions, and generally speaking, to help brighten up your day. Spring is here, Mae. Good morning to you.
Spring is here. Well, that's what I've decided, Fred. And how are you all? And thank you, Fred, so much. And good morning, friends. And how are you all this morning? And God love you. We had, you know, a warning of a storm yesterday on the radio and the televisions and so on, but the storm never came. Oh, they all scare me to death when they begin about storms, but then I guess they have to warn the people. Anyway, I believe spring is here, and we won't have any more winter. The weather's been fine lately, but you never can tell. I hold my breath for the fruit trees, knock on wood, and see if you can hear me. I know you heard me knocking on wood. Well, anyway, before I forget it, I want to tell you that there's going to be a big folk festival at Mountain Home, Arkansas, April the 19th, 20th, and 21st. Oh, they want me to come so badly. Come and get me, but I'll tell you, the doctor doesn't want me to go. I have high blood pressure that keeps shooting up every once in a while. Oh, I hate to quit the things that I love to do, honest and truly. And I don't know. I'm to decide within a few days. And Jim, I'll write you. Jimmy Driftwood. And I know that the doctor doesn't want me to go to the National Folk Festival in Frankfort, Kentucky. That's the big national one where they come from all over the nation and have 2,000 performers, and it lasts 3 days. And I've been to 20 of them in different cities. And I'm on the national board, the oldest woman on it. And, well, they just want me to come. Then the governor of Kentucky is going to send for me at his own expense. But I don't think I can go, and I don't think I will go. He wants to fly me there. Well, you don't fly me anywhere. So that settles that. When I get my wings in eternity, I'll fly. But, you know, they've got the law of gravity here, so I don't want to fly. I would have to go on the train if I go. It's doubtful if I go. I hate so bad to quit the things I've always done and want to do, but facts are facts. Now, I want you all to try to go to the festival in Mountain Home, Arkansas, April the 19th, 20th, and 21st. You'll have a grand time. Our far-famed Jimmy Driftwood, the man who made the song The Battle of New Orleans and made it famous, along with Johnny Horton, who died. He'll be right there. He lives near there, and he's in charge of the publicity of the festival. And it's worth traveling anywhere just to meet and know Jimmy Driftwood. There is one of the finest fellows you ever met in all your life. There's a man that Arkansas ought to be proud of. And you know, they raise wonderful people in Arkansas. I'm strong for that state. Well, I still have nice surprises now and then. This week I got a big package looking like Santa Claus had put it up. And bless Pat, it was a sack of burmeal from Mr. Harold Stott down at Ava. He now has the famous old Aid Hodgson water mill at Sycamore. One of the most beautiful old mills you ever looked at. My husband used to bring home burmeal now and then from this famous old water mill. You know, of course, what burmeal is, or maybe you don't. You ought to know. It's ground the water power on the original old French millstones that were shipped to this country. These down at the Aid Hodgson were shipped to this country over 100 years ago. Ground on these stone burrs, and therefore it's called burmeal. Carl Almy Wilson's poem, peace be to her soul. My, how she could write dialect. She said, I want my meal from the burmeal way yonder on the creek. I don't like this newfangled meal stuff. It leaves me sort of weak. Do you ever eat burmeal, Fred? Don't you know what burmeal? Oh, it's the best on earth. You who have never tasted cornbread made out of burmeal have never tasted anything yet. It's sweet. It's rich. It's better than the lifeless, mechanical, ground-to-death stuff we get in the stores. It's whole grain meal and unsifted. Whole grain, the whole corn. And don't sift it when you make the bread. We never do. Meal from this mill is sold in several markets right here in Springfield. My daughter's never without it. Me either when I can get to it, but I don't get to go around and get these things. I don't drive a car, don't have a car. This meal has nothing added and nothing taken out. It's the meal your grandmammy made her wonderful hoe cake from. Mr. Stopped, I just can't tell you how pleased I am and how thoughtful it was of you. Everyone who knows me knows how I love burr meal. These old mills are now almost gone in the Ozarks. We have two or three, I think, left. I don't know just where the other two are. Tourists often travel a long ways just to see these old mills and the beautiful water running and watch them grind the meal between these huge, solid stone burrs. Miss Audrey Thompson of Springfield writes to tell me that she so regrets the passing from the Ozarks of the church bells from our country churches. She says, can't they be left if only to ring them on certain days? Maybe ring them all some Sunday in the summer. Let the people hear them calling them to God's house. I'm sure our children and grandchildren would like it, she says. Well, she's right. Indeed, she is. Nothing on earth is more beautiful than church bells. But I didn't know they'd stopped ringing the church bells in the villages. My little white chapel down at Galena, the lovely church of my childhood with its stained windows and a beautiful deep-toned bell, I wonder if they've stopped ringing that for Sunday school. If so, why would they stop? They used to ring the first bell for Sunday school, as we called it. Then we'd hurry to get there before the second bell. Then after Sunday school, they'd ring the lovely tones of the bell calling people for church. What's the matter with American people anyway? And as Miss Thompson says, how our old people would love to hear the bells. Thank you, Miss Thompson, for remembering. Oh, I wish we could have a revival of church bells. We miss so many things in life. A little verse comes to me. It should be ours, the wine and oil, to pour into the bleeding wounds of stricken ones, to take the smitten and the sore and sick and bear them where a stream of blessing runs. Instead, we look about, the way is wide, and so we pass them by up on the other side. That's the truth. I'm so sorry that I overlooked in some way on March the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, the birthday, the 96th birthday of Mrs. Annie Brazil of Elkhead, Missouri. I think I missed it. I couldn't seem to find where I had renounced it. Her granddaughter, Miss Henrietta Brown of Sparta, Missouri, writes me that her grandmother is up and going just about as good as this time last year. I don't know how I miss these birthdays, and it nearly kills me, especially when it's the old folks, and I know they're listening in. Oh, I tell you, it makes me sick. I'm going to institute some sort of a new system. I've put up a special little case on the wall in my little library, and whenever I learn about a birthday coming off, I'm going to drop the letter or the name or whatever information I have in that case. And so help me, I'm going to do it without fail. And I bet you I don't miss any more birthdays. Anyway, happy birthday, dear Aunt Annie Brazil, and God bless you and give you more birthdays, and believe me, I won't forget the next one. And I believe that today is when I'm to announce the birthday of Victoria Ragsdale of Republic, the aunt of my good friend Grace Spencer. I think it's today. I'll find out. I want to send my best love to my good friend, Mr. Earl Tyler of Neosho, Missouri, who has been on the sick list for over a year now, but I learn he's greatly improved. Mr. Tyler is the husband of the poet and writer Ruth Tyler that you've all read from, and believe me, she is the best dialect poet in the Ozarks, barring none, or I think the best dialect poet in America. She's tops. She knows her stuff in this very fickle, very hard-to-get-right Ozark dialect, which so many, many writers get all wrong. It's an old, early English dialect. That reminds me, yesterday I was going over some things and I ran across all the old superstitions they used to have when I was a kid about the signs for rain. Well, I'll mention some of them to see how many of them you recall. All these different signs, you know, when it was going to rain. They used to say that the soot would go to falling down in the old chimney a few hours before a rain, and it did. And walls were damp, and ditches would smell louder than usual. The chairs and beds would always creak more than usual. The ducks would quack louder, and if you had a peacock, he'd always make a fearful business of crying his... Oh, you've heard a peacock scream, haven't you? Several hours before a rain. I've seen that. My brother-in-law had a great big beautiful one, and he carried on something terrible before a rain. That one never fails. Long before there was a cloud in the sky, he'd start. Pigs in a pen always get awfully restless before a rain. The cat always sat and washed his face thoroughly, usually sat in the doorway. Wash and wash, hours before a rain. The fish would rise to the top in a clear stream. The flies would stick to you and nearly torment you to death. The dogs would so often gnaw grass before a rain. Did you know that? Gnaw grass. Toads hopped around over the grass the night before a rain. The crickets sang sharply, and the distant hills looked closer. I always remember that. The hills in front of my home looked like they're right up at you. So many signs that never failed, it seemed. Children became more playful and got into more mischief hours before a rain. They always said the sun went pale to bed before a rain. The moon always had a sort of three-cornered spout like it was spilling a rain. And there are also many, many signs of a rain. The world, you know, is hungry for the great simplicities. There is such a going back all over America to the things that went into the lives of our forefathers, to things of the past with history and sentiment. We're in a tragic world now, and things are slipping. People seem to want to cling to the things of the days when there was peace and stability and neighborliness, and everybody was not at each other's throats. Pardon me, I have a cold this morning. Not at each other's throats in war. And the world was not so bewildered. People want to hold on to old antiques and old things of a bygone day. If it's nothing more than an old fiddle or an old chest or a slat bonnet, like two I have, the maiden sent me, my sweet friends. Maybe they hold to an old dish that loving hands have washed and dried fondly, or an old Bible whose pages tears have been dropped upon. You know, nations rise and vanish, and tyrants have their day. But there are the eternal things that never pass away. I want to say hello to my guests this morning. I have Betty's brother, Tommy Pearson from Exeter, and I have his sister and husband, Mr. and Ms. Jean Cook. Hope you're doing all right, kids, and get some breakfast. I'll see you all next Saturday morning. The Lord willing and the creek don't rise.